more a matter of who's going to be doing it or not. Like I said, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to the Paragon Radio program. Just looking over the headlines of the news today. I mean, gunmen kidnap 7 Red Cross workers in Syria. Mass evacuation before Indian cyclone. Limited toll. And ex-U.S. Rep. Gabby Giffords attends New York gun show. South Dakota ranchers reeling from cattle losses. Reeling from the loss of tens of thousands of cattle in last weekend's blizzard. Many will dispose of the carcasses in pits set to open Monday. Yeah, the pits are... they're going to open on Monday. What is Gabby Giffords doing at a gun show? Oh. She toured rows of tables loaded with rifles and handguns in her first visit to a gun show since surviving a 2011 shooting, and then pleaded afterward for people to come together to stop gun violence. It's good for us to all come together so we can stop gun violence. Which I thought gun violence was almost stopped since you can't buy bullets anymore. Getting awfully close anyway. What about World War II vets breaking down government barriers so they can go to national landmarks? Because Sarah Palin is standing strong with World War II vets. I mean, I believe we didn't do the show last week because we had things to do on Monday. But I believe what I was saying before the government shut down 2 weeks ago is that the big loss for the government shutdown will be the closure of the national parks and monuments. And that's really what people are going to miss more than anything else. That's going to be the biggest effect. And that is, so far, has been the biggest sticking point. And according to conservatives, Obama is evil for cutting down, stopping, shutting down the national monuments and parks, which may or may not be true. Wow, look at this. Newly installed speed cameras in Chicago have tallied up some eye-catching numbers. With more than 200,000 violations captured at just 4 sites during the past month and a half. 200,000.
Does it say what the average ticket price is?
Well, they're saying that they've only been issuing warnings to the errant drivers caught on camera. Because it would seem like if you sent out $200,000 tickets, 200,000 speeding tickets, I mean to say, you might have a negative reaction from that. But if those warnings that they had sent out, 200,000 of them, had been actual tickets, it would have been $13.9 million worth of fines. $13.9 million. It's expected that the new speed camera system will generate about $15 million in revenue before the end of this year. Wow, they're going to have 50 locations of these cameras throughout Chicago. That's just super not fair. Speeding on the highway, or speeding in general, is such a, how do you say, a necessary part of driving.
Right.
And speeding is, and there's a finesse to it. There's a way to speed. There's a way not to speed. You don't want to be reckless, but you do want to pick up a couple of extra MPHs, especially if you're on the interstate. As everyone knows, if the speed limit's 65, you're good to go over 70. Just not, you don't want to go over 75. I mean, you're good, highway patrol. Speed trap sting cop is not going to want to pull people over doing 6 miles an hour over the speed limit. They're not looking for people doing 7 miles an hour over the speed limit. They want to get the guy that's doing 25, 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. And there's that guy. But it's super important. It's just unfair. Just like how you used to be able to run red lights. Now you have to constantly worry that you're going to get a ticket magically in the mail for running red lights. It's incredibly unfair. But see, that's the point. Even when the government shuts down, and come on, it's a very limited part of the government that shut down anyway. I mean, what actually shut down? It seems to me the only thing that shut down was the national park system. I mean, everything else with the federal government, I mean, and the Congress, but they couldn't figure anything out anyway. Nothing was going any direction. It was very stagnant. But the national park system shuts down. Everything else is business as usual, except for the bureaucrats. The non-essential ones, anyway, what they said, 96% of the Environmental Protection Agency is non-essential. I thought, you know, hey, at least for images, let's go, the EPA is important. I heard a government employee, a bureaucrat, say on the radio, it's not like we can just go get jobs at McDonald's. We have a higher standard of living. We work for the government. Yeah, they can't just go get jobs at McDonald's. They're government employees. Used to a higher standard of living than that. Very interesting way to put that. Kind of makes you feel sorry for the people that work at McDonald's. Because government employees are way above them. Way above them. Shuts down. Nobody's really sure. They keep bringing essential people back when they were said they were non-essential. They're furloughed workers. And of course, you have some people who get sent home and are probably still going to get paychecks, and the people that have to still work, who wish they had been sent home so they could still get a paycheck. It really causes lots of problems. But it's still shut down. And hey, it won't matter. You know, soon enough, there'll be speed cameras everywhere. Most of the monitoring of the people by the powers that be, by the infrastructure, by the government above them, most of that's going to be automated soon anyway. And when the government shuts down, you won't even notice. It won't even matter. It won't even make a difference. The telephone number is 816-931-5534. It's 931-KKFI if you'd like to join in. Make a little conversation over there. Everything updated on your Facebook page, Jake?
We are proper.
That's good. So what's going on, man?
Well, apparently Chiefs fans can scream louder than any other fans in the history of the world. The Guinness World Book of Records set today for the loudest decibels ever in an open-air stadium. Pretty exciting.
Wow. Yeah. No, I'm really excited.
And that's what it's coming down to. Government shut down. How loud can you scream?
At concussive football?
Right.
Well, that's good to know. I'm proud of the Chiefs, or the Chiefs fans. Proud of the city of Raytown, because I know that they were screaming too. Really proud of you guys. You know, it seems like the Guinness Book of World Records used to really mean something to me.
Pre-internet, it was kind of novel.
But now you have people setting records all over the internet, right?
One virus at a time.
All kinds of records being set online. But hey, Chiefs fans, loudest fans, big deal. Huge deal. Anything else?
I saw the newest, well, it's not the newest, but I hadn't run across it yet. In the ever-encroaching police state, they now have less than lethal landmines that if you step or trip the wire in, you know, protest marching style, it'll explode.
What, one of those dummy clowns blow up and then... Headbutt you a couple times.
A flag and rolls.
You know, I'm talking about the clown you punch in the face and it's got the weight on the bottom. And it flips you back forward. I don't think he did that right. It's 816-9331. You're pressing the buttons too hard again.
Slipped the phone right off the back of the desk.
931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. I'd like to thank anyone and everyone that pledged their support to community radio in the 21st century by pledging some of their money over the fall 2013 pledge drive. Thank you very much. Nothing? No? All right.
They'll call back.
Thank you very much for your support of community radio in the 21st century.
No, but there's no clowns in the police landmines. It's plastic BBs. Isn't that exciting? A less than lethal landmine, shaped just like a claymore.
And full of plastic BBs? The kind you might decorate a cake with?
Right.
I'm not even sure what the purpose of that would be.
To get back.
Probably to mess with people at raves. So where are you going to plant landmines?
Well, I mean, in an urban setting, I think you can, like, fishing line, tie it to the detonating pin. You don't necessarily have to bury them and step on them.
Oh, yeah? Are these available for public use?
Well.
Or private use, I guess you'd say?
Private police.
Is there somebody on the phone?
There is.
Good morning, you're on the radio.
Yeah, you're good. No, I'm just going to say it. I just love it. You guys are so dry. You are way too close to the way I think about all this, and I want to tell you I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, man.
You're way close.
Might want to turn him. Are you there, sir?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got your radio on in the background, so it's a little confusing. But we appreciate your support.
I'm still here.
Cool, man. All right. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I mean, what else am I just supposed to say? I appreciate what you're saying. You know, you have supporters out here. I'm one of them.
Cool, man. I'm glad to hear that. You have a wonderful day.
You too, buddy.
All right. We got supporters out there. It's good. It's good because it's hard. I'm not sure what we've even talked about thus far. I don't think that guy works for the government. I'm trying to think of the things we've talked about thus far. I don't think he's a government employee, and that's probably for the better. But people do care. They just have a hard time talking about the fact that they care. It used to be people were so very excited to talk about all types of issues. National politics, international politics, the direction in which we were headed as a people, as a civilization, and now people do not give a damn.
There's no more dams to give.
Whereas the economy has destroyed all the dams? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, the economy, the war effort, the contiguous lie.
Do we get an A for the war effort?
The war on drugs, the war on education, or the war on terror?
That's the same war, isn't it?
Correct.
The war on education, huh?
Yeah.
What about the war on stupid people? You know, morons are gaining ground.
And authority.
The idiots have broken through the lines. They're coming right for us. Oh, look at this. The chief of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, said the U.S. government's stalemate over spending and its debt limit is very, 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 very concerning. Very concerning. And could roll back economic progress around the world. You hear that, Jake?
Very concerned.
It's going to roll back economic progress. And she...
like Walmart prices.
Christine Lagarde is very concerned.
Very.
Will Walmart realize that they have to pay people to open up the boxes of stuff that they have sent to their stores from third world slave labor plantation, sweatshop type places? Because if you don't have anyone working at the store that knows how to operate a box cutter because you've cut back on semi-skilled labor and everyone's a temporary seasonal employee, that your customers can't buy the stuff if it's sitting in unopened boxes in the middle of the store. I don't know that other aspects of business will figure that out as well. I don't know if the Federal Reserve or the IMF or any of these other organizations will get this same concept figured out. I'm going to go with no. There's going to be a new Federal Reserve chairman head. That's good, isn't it?
I'm so excited. Their birthday's coming up.
For the Federal Reserve Bank?
Yep.
You don't have to press the button so hard. Gentle little press. I can hear the flexing of that phone from all the way over here. It's going to be all right. Press them daintily. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to mention, how come nothing has been talked about the curing of HIV or AIDS virus?
Well, let's talk about that. Do we want to talk about Magic Johnson?
Say what now?
Who, in reference to what, sir?
Yeah, I just wonder, because I see Magic Johnson, he don't got will, and everybody else is dying.
Well, Magic
Johnson. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay, very well. You got it, Jake. Why is Magic Johnson still alive? And everyone else is dying.
Food and nutrition. And a unwillingness to take some of those radical drugs like AZT. He's talked about it.
I'm pretty sure he does. I've seen him do commercials for some of the AIDS drugs.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he's taking them.
Now, food and nutrition might be part of it. But I think I'm pretty sure the World Health Organization said AIDS as an epidemic was over for the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
As long as you were a non-intravenous drug-using straight individual. If you're a straight male or female. I guess if you are a drug user and are still engaging in certain forms of what would be the politically correct way to say that?
Poppers?
Poppers? No, intravenous drugs and LGBTE sex.
Oh, right.
I don't know how you would say that. That still might be a problem. But the World Health Organization, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, said AIDS was over to the Western Hemisphere for people who have traditional intercourse and do not use intravenous drugs, who just smoke their drugs, right? Drug smokers, not people that put the drugs into needles, stick it in their arms. Like people who are using crocodile.
Ooh, crocodile.
Which is a lot of fun, which, I mean, makes PCP seem like, you know, something you might do on a Sunday before church.
I mean, do you think these people know? Is it sold to them as something else? Like, you know, this is meth or whatever, and it's actually cheap, you know. Indian, where does it come from originally? Africa, India, somewhere?
Russia.
Russia? Amen.
It's prescription pain medicine and gasoline.
Right, and lighter fluid, I've heard. Not very much crocodile in it.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
But, yeah, apparently these people, you know, your skin starts to rot off almost immediately, and giant lesions are the best-case scenario. And I can't imagine more than two people doing that before the third person doesn't really care about how high it gets you, and they don't.
I think it's affordable.
But
It's self-sanitizing. You don't need to clean the needles out.
It looks harsh, and even your most strung out junkie would opt to do something that doesn't make your arm fall.
Yeah, like go make a organic tabbouleh.
Right.
I think I'm gonna straighten up today. Well, people are driven to do this kind of stuff because they shut down the Silk Road, Jake.
The Bitcoin Express no longer travels the Silk Road.
No, I had no idea what the Silk Road was until they shut it down.
Yeah, I've never.
I really, really missed out. I feel like. I'm really bummed out.
You know, again, much like bizarre flesh-eating drugs.
$1.2 billion worth of drug transactions on the Silk Road between January of 2011 to October of 2013.
Right. The first person to hit enter on there, you know, can you really buy heroin on the internet idea? It's astonishing.
Because it's a really good idea?
That people would even consider it, like doing crocodile. Just with the paranoia in the illicit drug community anyway.
Yeah, but that was the whole point, that it was completely safe to...
Well, nothing on the internet's completely safe.
Not even checking the weather?
Not even checking
the weather, Jake?
Not even checking the weather.
But that's what they're saying, it was safe because...
But they got shut down.
Right, but the guy who was administering the site, he's the one that got in trouble. No sellers or buyers of illegal substance. They weren't able to track the money because it was bitcoins.
Right. Or at least it took them too long. Too annoying. An arduous process.
No, I'm sure if they could start busting people, they would.
Seemed like a intelligence front of some kind from the get-go.
The Silk Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even historically, what was the Silk Road?
It was the communication point between China and the West before Christopher Columbus, which is, I guess now today, it's Christopher Columbus Day.
Right. The Globetrotters.
And that has something to do with the CIA?
Well, just not specifically. I would say the CIA would be a descendant of that type of mindset. you know, to want, I think the urge to trade might be innate somehow. But, you know, how many ever thousands of years ago in that part of the world, the intestinal fortitude it would take to travel into strange lands with all your goods, you know, hope you didn't get robbed or killed and try and trade them. And once these merchant routes are established, then your intelligence asset latch on quickly.
So it's bad for people to want to wear silk shirts and have black pepper on their porridge or whatever it was in medieval Europe.
I'm saying the knights that set that up had a lot to do with our modern banking system and trade in general. Territories, you know, a lot of indigenous people.
So you're bummed out you never went on the Silk Road. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the Internet Silk Road just reminded me of, you know, not the White Hats installing it to begin with.
Who are the White Hats?
Just your average Joes, people that actually do good in the world. The non-organized.
Well, right. The website that sells crack and slaves is probably not run by good people, Jake. I mean, I don't think we need. Yeah.
Right.
If you can buy a hit on your ex-girlfriend and a hit of heroin at the same website.
Not White Hats.
Yeah, probably not people going to church on Sunday.
Not the churches we think of.
Yeah, not the First Presbyterian Church. Probably not those folks. But nevertheless, I didn't know that this existed until it no longer existed. Because apparently, there is the surface web, and then there is the deep web, as some people call the dark internet. This is absolutely fascinating. The Silk Road was a huge part of that. But it's not the only part of that. Just one piece of that. You can't search the dark web with Google or Bing or Yahoo or Start Page. Even the search engine on BoobTube doesn't work in the dark internet. In the deep internet, it doesn't work. You have to know exactly where you're going. They're like speakeasies. And I'm sure a lot of it is human trafficking and drugs and child pornography. I'm sure a lot of it is that. Even though I think the deep internet is interesting and I'm very curious about it, I haven't gone. I don't know where to go, is the whole point. I have no idea where to go. Because you have to know where you're going. But there's a lot of information out there. And it's kind of, it's a little anarchism, it would seem.
Looks like we got a call from the Silk Road.
$1.2 billion worth of transactions. This Ross Ulbricht character made $80 million in commissions off the website that is in a Bitcoin wallet somewhere. So a Bitcoin wallet seems kind of like a meat wallet to me. I don't know why.
Not a prison wallet?
816-931-5534, 931 KKFI. You're on the radio.
Yes, this is Paul again.
What's up, Paul again?
Yeah, I got a question for you. What do you go if you find a cure for it? It's already been approved by the Center for Disease Control.
Of AIDS?
But I have a problem because I'm Afro-American. That's what a person go to stop the AIDS virus.
Wait a minute.
You got an antidote that stops it.
Paul, you're saying you have an
I'm going to hang up now.
No, don't hang up. Is that for real? The guy calls up and he's like, yo, man, my name is Paul. I got the cure for AIDS, but I'm black and I don't know how to go to the Center for Disease Control. Is that what just happened?
Approximately.
Paul, why'd you hang up, man? You have the antidote for AIDS, and you're feeling like you can't go to the CDC for racial reasons. I suggest you try to sell that cure on Craigslist.
I think we have him back.
Paul, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, so you have the cure for AIDS.
I have the cure for AIDS virus.
Okay, now can you tell us, give us an idea of what it is?
Yeah, I've been having it for quite a while. I called the Food and Drug Administration, and I talked to them about it. And they told me, said, you know damn well ain't such thing as HIV or AIDS virus.
Oh, come on. So what's in your cure? What do you make it out of?
Well, for one thing, is that the one that wrote it, I got it from the CDC.
You got the cure from the CDC?
Yep.
Can I ask you a personal question, Paul?
Yes.
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy.
All right.
I went to school for chemistry.
So you, you're a scientist?
Yeah. I went to school for chemistry.
So you got the cure for AIDS from the Centers for Disease Control?
Yes, sir.
And
but the one that called it AIDS virus was a homosexual. They the one called it AIDS virus, and it stuck.
Okay.
And so when you look at a movie called you ever seen a movie called A Band Played On?
No, I missed that one.
Well, if you've looked that up, you see that what I'm talking about.
Do you know
The first case of AIDS virus was in 1968, a teenager out of St. Louis, Missouri. They gave it, he had it,
right.
But they didn't know what to call it. So then when they updated from 1968 to 1984, then they called it AIDS virus, which was done by the homosexuals.
So how many antidotes do you have to take before you're fully cured of AIDS?
No more than about, take about 4 days to get rid of it.
Really, 4 days and the AIDS is gone. That's...
Yeah, it takes about 4 days.
And everything clears up, the lesions and...
Yep. Doing enough too.
And how can people get a hold of you, Paul?
Pardon me?
How can people get in contact with you if they want to clear up their AIDS?
Well, for one thing, I'm working with a Dr. Stephon Carter out of Texas.
Okay.
And I'm working with him, and him and I spoke about it, and but you can get my number. I've been knowing you quite a while, and my number is 333-8095.
Oh, okay.
And I do know a lot. I know a lot about that stuff on there because I went to an AIDS consortium back some time ago over there on Main Street. And so I asked the question, I said, what have you did for Afro-Americans with the problem of do having AIDS virus?
Right.
Well, they told me, they said, well, for one thing is that they haven't. Said that they haven't. And since they haven't, they never gave me an answer. So two more guys came up to me that were homosexuals. They said, man, you're right. He said, because my partners, they all took the same medicine, and they did.
And they were cured?
Well, no. They took the poison. I mean, that wasn't the beginning. That's about 20, about 24 years ago.
Oh, the poison. I see.
And they both took the same medicine, but the black guys died.
All right. Well, I mean, it's
so
good. I mean, it's...
So the thing that I love about it is that the one that who approved of it, not only that, but I'm not crazy.
Maybe
also,
Paul needs
I found
a,
in the New English Journal of Medicine as well.
Maybe Paul needs a Kickstarter campaign.
Pardon me?
A Kickstarter campaign. Do you have a Facebook page for your cure for AIDS?
Just a second. Pull over.
All right. Paul, we appreciate
you. I can hear you now.
All right. Do you have, you should do a Kickstarter campaign for your AIDS cure.
Well, I'm going to try to do something because all the pharmaceutical companies are white. And then trying to get someone to participate. I'm going to call over to KU and see what I can find out over there.
All right.
Because one thing is that the stuff is ready. I mean, anytime that you call down there to Atlanta, and then I said, I didn't write it. You the one wrote it. And I got it.
All right. Paul, we appreciate your phone call, sir. And good luck with your quest to cure AIDS for everybody or just black men.
I used to be on KKFI a long time ago when they had coming from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, at nighttime.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You take care, sir. All right. So that's good to know. There's a cure for AIDS out there. You think Michael T knows it's Sunday? You think he knows it's Monday morning?
I'm sure when he wakes up, he'll think about it.
Oh, my God. 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. I mean, I guess that's kind of reassuring for some people that there's a cure for AIDS.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a cure for anything, right?
I mean, for me, AIDS was always a whole fear-based mind control thing. I was, how do you say, going through puberty when AIDS happened. And I remember the comedian saying that when I was a kid growing up, safe sex was locking the car door. And I was pretty sure that AIDS was going to ravage and destroy my body upon having a sexual partner. I mean, you remember that? You remember, you know, AIDS being a concern, Jake?
Yeah. Ryan White was the first white kid to, you know, have a TV special about it.
Yeah, I guess I missed that TV special.
Then a made-for-TV movie.
But I remember thinking that AIDS was the biggest thing to be afraid of when you started having sex. Little did I know that it was actually women that you're supposed to be afraid of when you start having sex with them. That's the real fear, is girls. But I didn't know that. I thought it was AIDS. So I had, you know, I was misled. I was misguided. Thought as, you know, as long as there's no HIV, we're in it together, baby. But that's not the case. Not the case at all. But it used to be a really big deal, HIV. And it doesn't really seem to be that big of a deal anymore.
No, it's like Syria.
Really? Seriously? No, Syria's still a big deal to somebody. Was it ever a big deal to you?
No. Neither was AIDS. I mean, I understand if you have it or you live in Syria. Those would be big deals. But, yeah, it's, you know, overblown and underblown all at the same time.
I think, you know, AIDS definitely did get overblown, but that might have, I mean, you can understand why.
There was full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, there's full-blown AIDS. Overblown AIDS is right. You can kind of understand why, though.
Yeah. You got to freak people out.
I mean, most of the other diseases that you catch from sex are curable. And, you know, herpes is just for life.
There's people that say there's a cure for that.
You remember Tommy Morrison? He died just recently.
That's what I heard.
He was trying to cure his AIDS.
He had breast implants. Male breast implants.
What is that?
Got punched in the head too many times, I guess.
Thought it was a good idea. Because it's easier than working out, than staying fit.
Or you could, you know, hide your AIDS and appear to be healthy.
I guess you could do that. Yeah, you could hide your AIDS. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good that you can just call for anyone that didn't know, apparently you can just call the CDC and get the cure for AIDS. And if you have, you know, if you're a scientist, you can just make that cure up. And we didn't get to it, but I think it was intimated that full-blown AIDS would be cured within 4 days. Which is good to know. It really is. And if you need more information about that, it's out there. It's available. All right, so anything else, Jake?
In the AIDS category?
This in the radio category.
Yeah, I think just like bird flu and SARS and everything else, they've got to keep the viral scare going with a new flavor. I mean,
viruses are scary, aren't they?
They can be. You know, they'll definitely ravage a population, but...
Viruses are like little zombies.
Right, or little nanobots.
Right, it's nanotechnology. It's zombified nanotechnology or something.
Ancient zombified nanotechnology.
Yeah, they say it's been around for a while. That's absolutely right.
So, the best cure for all of those is just to be a healthy person. And,
yeah, but what happens when that doesn't work?
You call the CDC. Or Paul.
Yeah, people struggle with that whole healthy person thing, don't they?
Some do, yes.
Hey, here's a headline for you. Walmart customers riot when unable to use EBT cards.
It's in the suicide. It's like 17 states were affected in a glitch, in air quotes, which I wouldn't put it past either somebody being funny or just the poking the cage tiger routine of just shutting a few off to see what kind of scare they could get going. The government shut down. You know, there's a social media buzz about EBT cards not working. And then, you know, local newses and mainstream news organizations pick up on it. And before you know it, they got a little mini scare going right in time for the government shutdown. But apparently it was just a glitch. No need to be afraid. They've got it all under control.
Everything's just a glitch, right? And what about, the Affordable Healthcare Plan online website exchanges not working? That's a bit of a glitch.
Well, I would categorize the entire Obamacare as a glitch. I don't think any of it's meant to work. I mean, could it?
Could insurance work?
I know insurance could work, but we have insurance. Insurance is out there.
You got insurance, dude?
No, I'm not saying I have.
Okay, you just said we got it. I'm like, we do, huh?
We as a people.
All right.
No, I'm proud and voluntarily uninsured.
Or are you going to get insured?
What for?
Because it's the law, bro.
Just in case. No.
You're required by federal law to get health care insurance.
Catastrophic for somebody.
Yeah, you're required, bro. It's the law. You're going to follow the law, aren't you?
Well.
It's going to be rough when you get pulled over for having a broken taillight. And they're like, Mr. Appleman, according to our records here, you are uninsured.
Whoa.
So we have to chain you to the floor.
Well, I mean, I've been chained to the floor for...
I know you have, Jake.
Lesser.
They're gonna chain you back to the floor.
Lesser infractions. Well, it'll be a long line of people in chains and floor.
They're gonna take you somewhere, and instead of...
FEMA camp?
No, it'll be more like, a hospital camp. And they'll immunize you.
Repeatedly.
Over and over and over again. And they'll send you the bill for the immunizations. It'll be high. Charge you a fine. And then you'll end up with a warrant for your arrest. And they'll keep issuing warrants for your arrest until you get insured, until you have medical insurance.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's the law, Jake. You're supposed to have medical insurance. So you won't cost more to the system in the future when you get diabetes or whatever you end up getting.
The beaties. No, you know I'm going to put oregano oil on it, gargle some colloidal silver out. I wouldn't take my beaties to the hospital anyway.
And don't forget it's a poultice.
Right.
They got to put a poultice on it.
You've seen my homeopathy.
I'm looking for any good news stories out there. I mean, you know, come on. France to increase troops in Central African Republic to protect gold and uranium interests. Oh, France. Veterans take barricades from memorials and dump them at White House. Sinaloa cartel led by Mexican drug kingpin and probably U.S. government agent, you know, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman accounts for 80% of massive U.S. meth trade. You know, before NAFTA, people in America smoked domestic meth. All this cheap Mexican meth coming into America.
Well, Breaking Bad is over.
Did it ever begin?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that show. Was I missing out?
If you like uncontrollable nervous anxiety pumped directly into your cortex.
So is that a yes or?
Some people enjoy that. No, it was, you know, I saw them. I saw them. It was, you know, like any other show, way over the top. It's still captivating. You know, growing up in mid-Missouri, I've known my fair share of people in and around the meth game. So it's kind of like a, you know, docudrama at that point.
Yeah, really?
Well, I mean, their meth was blue, but...
Huh. All right. Well, I guess that's just what it is. I, you know, if it were me and I lived in a trailer park and I didn't have teeth, I'd like to take a lot of naps.
No, yeah.
That would just be me.
The main character, he's a chemistry teacher. I mean, you know the basic outline of the story. He gets diagnosed with cancer. He's got a son with MS, maybe cerebral palsy, one of those two. And then his wife's pregnant with a daughter on the way. And he thinks he just has months to live. So he takes his chemistry knowledge and makes a bunch of meth, which turns out to be the best and purest and bluest ever because he's such a chemistry nerd that the you know, money starts rolling in. Seasons 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, the cancer's in remission. So it's a story about, but yeah, the main character, he never does the meth one time ever. He's not a tweaker.
Okay.
And the business end of it. So yeah, there's plenty of story of the story is not about the actual end user, you know, meth head that is the stereotype, which made it intriguing on the other end. You know, plus there's lots of TNA and, you know, random violence and a good soundtrack.
A good compilation of that, I'd probably be happy.
But, so, yeah, Breaking Bad ends and the really cheap, foreign, non-domestic meth floods the city streets.
Well, it's because you don't have the Silk Road anymore.
Yeah.
Where you can go out and get organic, user-reviewed methamphetamine. Shade grown and fair trade meth.
Grass-fed meth.
Yeah, free range. You know, minimally processed, no artificial ingredients, meth.
Lab to mouth.
Yeah, lab to mouth. Because it's gone now. You can't get it anymore. All right, it's about 10 minutes until the 2 o'clock hour. What do we think, Jake?
We think that AIDS is cured.
Cool.
Google Fiber is here. With both of those being the case, less dams are given. And we're just waiting for the next Illuminati street theater performance. So we'll have something new to talk about and fill up a new section of YouTube.
What's coming up with the suicide today?
We've got a brand new one. Number 290. I've already forgotten the name of it. I did spend the day making it, though.
Maybe you want to play that early tonight?
Yeah, we can do that. Your laptop is plugged in there. Can you run them both off the same jack?
Let's play a little music here. Can you turn the universal pot up? And you are listening to the Paragon Radio program right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin, and this is music. Oh, not really. You can kind of hear it.
if I should take a notion to jump into the ocean. Tain't nobody's business if I do, 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 do. Rather than persecute me, choose that you would shoot me, cause tain't nobody's business if I do. You can talk, you can rave, they can say awful things about me. I don't care what you say, go on your way if you doubt me. Cause if I go to church on Sunday and tear it down on Monday, tain't nobody's business if I do. I mean it, I solid mean it.
This week, a conversation with the new dean of the Washington National Cathedral, a former English teacher. He's this week.